الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما أنا رحمة مهدات أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. My most respected brothers and elders, our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to address the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een, then he would recline on a tree that was close by him. As he would address the Sahaba, he would be standing, and when he would get tired, he would place his hand on the tree and rest on the tree. And as the masjid of Nabi Kareem or the Sahaba grew in numbers, the musallis were more, the masjid of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became tight, so they had to make more place for Sahaba also, and it was difficult for the Sahaba sitting right in the end of the masjid, the back rear area of the masjid, to listen to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's advices, his khutbah. And they could not see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, a minbar, a pulpit, was then built for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when this minbar was built, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the masjid, and he goes past by this tree, and he ascended the pulpit. As he climbed on this minbar, suddenly this tree, which is not a human being, it began to fasaha, fasaraha surahan shadidan, it began to scream and shriek. It began to sob like a little baby. It began to cry so profusely that the entire masjid of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shook. Sahaba began to cry when they heard the crying over this tree. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam immediately descends from the minbar. He goes to the tree. He places his blessed hand, his Mubarak hand on the tree. And he embraces this tree. And he begins to silence it, like how a little baby that is crying. And the mother then begins to silence and pacify this child. Like that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to pacify the tree, because when he asked the tree why it was crying, he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I used to listen to your khutbah so close by. You would place your hand upon me. Now the minbar is built, and now you're going past by me. It's a 1 or 2 meter distance. I cannot bear this. It is as though you are gone very far away from me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pacifies this tree and then gives it an option. If you wish, I can make dua to Allah that you return to the garden that you came from, the orchard that you came from, and you will grow once again, and you will bear fruit, and the believers will eat from you. Or you may remain like this, and I will make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah makes you from the tree of Jannah. And then you will bear fruit, and the people of Jannah will then eat from you. My beloved brothers and elders, this tree opted for being a tree in paradise, where its branches, its roots will drink from the rivers of Jannah. And it will be again in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi then remarks, he comments, he says, this khashaba, this piece of wood as we say, or this tree stump, something which has no life in it, tahinnu ila Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shawqan ila liqai, or shawqan li Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this tree has so much of yearning and love to be in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How much more you and I should have that shawq and yearning and love for beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, on this Imam al-Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi, he would say that no Nabi was given any mu'jiza greater than that of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, even this tree that was able to speak and expressed its sadness and remorse when the pulpit was made and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would be away from it, and it showed its yearning and desire for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This indeed is an extremely great miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. My respected friends and elders, the world has never seen a personality, a caliber, a person of that status and shan, that rank, as that of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nor will the world ever see a personality of that caliber. Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala, in a couplet he also mentioned that the world has never missed a personality, nor will the world ever miss a personality like that of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was unique. The exemplary behavior, the mannerisms he had, the conduct, the interaction, the way he dealt with society, with the people around him, with animals, with enemy, with the prisoners of war, with the women folk, with the slaves, with the workers, with his companions, with delegations, the manner in which he dealt with people. Volumes have been written. Volumes. And that is why, to explain the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we can never do justice to it. Never. Every action of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was noor in it. He came at a time when there was complete darkness in the world. The time of Jahiliyyah, the era, the period of ignorance, the 6th century, where there was superstition, there was so much of evil taking place, wars taking place, fights, quarrels, deception. There was cheating. There was adultery, fornication. The nikahs that took place also. If one reads the books of Seerah, you see the morbid way of life they lived at that time. That even the earth could not even tolerate any more of that evil that was taking place on it. There was complete darkness. And the day Rasulullah ﷺ came into this world, he literally brought light into this world. And even the day when he entered Madinah Munawwara, Anas radiallahu ta'ala, his khadim, mentions that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Madinah Munawwara, the entire Madinah lit up. And the day he left this world, he said, we could feel suddenly that light has disappeared, as though everything has become so dark. So he brought nur. Allah Ta'ala used Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to dispel the darkness of evil, of sin, vice, kufr, shirk, the different things people were worshipping. Rasulullah sallam came and he taught tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he gave this message of hope to humanity, and he brought them out from a barbaric life. People would drink in such a manner that it is mentioned in some of the books that when a child is born, like how we make tahniq, there were people who would even give the child, little child, some alcohol, liquor to drink. A person was prepared to forego his rights of being the custodian or the keeper of the keys of the Kaaba just for a bottle of liquor. And Rasulullah ﷺ worked 13 years in Makkah, 10 years in Medina. It was not just a very easy way. A life that Rasulullah ﷺ, yes, he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, special mercy was upon him, but there were great challenges for him. He had to undergo hardship, difficulties. The incident of Taif, we have read in the books of Sirah, in the books of Hadith. And we narrate these incidents. But if one has to go through such an incident that Rasulullah ﷺ went through, where he was pelted with stones, he was chased away, dogs were set loose upon him, the vagabonds of that area, they chased Rasulullah ﷺ, they began to hit him, that he falls unconscious. Imagine the time when two of his daughters who were married, and both were sent back, both were divorced, and the one son-in-law comes and he spits on the face of Rasulullah ﷺ. He is prostrating, he is in front of the Kaaba. And Uqba bin Abi Mu'id comes and he places the embryo of the camel, the inside, the entrails of the camel, and it's placed on the back of Rasulullah ﷺ whilst he is making sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thorns are placed, not once or twice in his life, almost on a daily basis. It was a daily practice of Umm Jamil, the wife of Abu Lahab, that she would place dirt and thorns in the pathway of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to harm him. The boycott, 3 years in the valley of Abu Talib, where there was no food, Sahaba would just eat those who were with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would survive on leaves from the tree. The same Uqba bin Abi Mu'id comes and he begins to strangle Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There were plots made to assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abusive language hurled at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Accusations made against him. Accusations made against his beloved wife, Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. Perhaps other things a man can bear. But your innocent wife, and suddenly, Ubay bin Salul, who is a leader of the Munafiqeen, living in Medina, who thought once upon a time that he would be made the chief and the leader in Medina. And when that did not happen, he had that hasad and jealousy for Rasulullah. He was a Munafiq, not just a hypocrite, but the leader of the hypocrites, Ra'isul Munafiqeen. And all the time he would hurt Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in various ways. And he was the one who started this campaign in slandering Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, that ma'adallah she committed zina. Such was the campaign that there were some believers who fell into this. And of course they made sincere tawbah. And then they were forgiven. But with all that, when Rasulullah knew this is the man who is my enemy, who is hurting me, accusing my innocent wife of committing zina, versus the very lengthy incident which we explained many times previously. And finally, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself declares her innocence, verses upon verses have come down in the 18 juz of the Holy Quran, mentioning clearly that she was absolutely innocent and she's pure. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have taken revenge against Ubay bin Salul. But we look at the compassion he had, the heart he had. It wasn't an ordinary heart. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Alam nashrah laka sadrak. Have you not expanded your heart? That he was prepared to forgive. He was prepared to overlook. That the day comes when Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, when he passes away, when he dies, and his son comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was a sahabi, his son was a sahabi. Ya Rasulullah sallam, my father has no kafan. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked his uncle Abbas radiyallahu anhuma to give a kafan for Ubay bin Salul. And then Rasulullah himself goes forward and he leads the salatul janazah for a man who is a hypocrite, who hurt Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So can we imagine the large heart he had? He was an embodiment of mercy. Allah himself says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, that we have not sent you but a mercy unto mankind. When Rasulullah gave and he preached the message of Tawheed and oneness and the Risalat to the people, to the Quraysh of Makkah, and most of them initially when they rejected this message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they harmed him and persecuted him and tortured him, and finally when they saw that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is so steadfast and they could not point out any fault in him, he was already known as to be Al-Amin As-Sadiq long before he became a Nabi. People accepted him to be the most honest and most truthful person in Makkah. They knew his character. That is why when wahi came down to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the cave of Hira, and there's another lengthy incident on its own, but Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam runs to his wife Khadija, Zammiluni, Zammiluni, cover me, cover me. He was gripped with fever and fear overcame him because now Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam had embrace him thrice, and wahi had come down the first few verses of Iqra, and he thought now this is going to be the end of his life and he's going to be destroyed. And Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she consoles him and she mentions his qualities that he already possessed at that time. Innaka latasilur rahim. She says, Allah, kalla, wallahi, la yukhzik Allahu abada. Allah will never put you to disgrace. Allah won't harm you. Why? Because you are a man who's got good qualities. Innaka latasilu rahim. You join family ties. Remember, this was so important, especially at that time when families were disunited, people were disunited, tribes were always fighting with one another. There was no unity, there was no peace. So, innaka latasilu rahim. But you have this good quality of joining family ties. وَتَصْدُقُ الْحَدِيثِ, and you always speak the truth. وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلْ, and you carry the burden of mankind over your shoulders. وَتَكْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومِ, وَتُكْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومِ, that you always try and you see a person who has got no work. You try and earn for him. Or you find him some job to do so he could earn some livelihood. We talk about being humanitarian. This was found in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَتَقْرِ ضَيْفِ, and you entertain guests, always feeding people. وَتُعِينُ عَلَى نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ, whenever there's a crisis situation, there's some disaster, some calamity, you're always assisting. Six qualities she mentioned of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That means he had these qualities even before becoming a Nabi of Allah. Despite all this, when people could not see or find a fault in his message, and they could not find any fault in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's personality, in his akhlaq, his character, Then they began to call him things like he is Majnoon, he is insane. When a man loses a debate or a battle, and he's got no proofs now against his opponent, and he knows that man has got solid proofs against him, then he just calls him name, he's insane, he's mad. وَقَالُوا يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِي نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ الذِّكْرِ إِنَّكَ لَمَجْنُونَ. Are we going to leave our idols and follow a man who is a mad poet, لِشَاعِرٍ مَجْنُون? They call him Majnoon. A very serious allegation. If somebody tells you, you're mad, will you smile at him? You'll become angry. And not just once or twice, they kept on saying this. Look at the verses of the Quran. So many occasions they would call Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam a madman. He's insane. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then refutes the allegations. They dubbed him to be an insane. And Allah shows that these people in reality, these people, they are insane. They are mad. And Allah sent down the verse, Noon wal qalami wa ma yasturun ma anta bi ni'mati rabbika bi majnoon. Allah takes an oath on the pen. Mufassirin have given detailed explanation on the pen, and many of them have mentioned that this is the pen that has written the maqadir, the taqdeer, destiny of mankind. Something very, very serious and important, significant. The pen that wrote down my and your taqdeer, our destiny, our fate. Allah takes an oath on that pen and what the angels are writing. Allah does not need to take an oath, but He's got a message here that that pen that has written the taqdeer, that pen has already decreed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the best of mankind. And Allah says, مَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِمَجْنُونَ. O my Nabi, O my beloved Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are not through the grace and the favor and bounty of your Rabb. You are not insane. إِنَّ لَكَ لَأَجْرًا غَيْرَ مَمْنُونَ. For you there is unlimited rewards. You are going through all these tests and difficulties. People are hurling abuses against you. They are persecuting you. They are torturing you. They are harming you. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. For you are indeed, you are in a very high character, a very lofty character. And if you look at the books which explain the ahadith of the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is amazing, amazing, amazing. A person comes, a Bedouin. There's no culture in him, no mannerisms. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a nice shawl from Najran that he had draped around himself. And the border of the shawl was very coarse. And this man comes suddenly, he begins to pull Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam towards him. He tugs at the ends of the shawl to such an extent that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam falls onto the chest of this person. So very severely he pulls him. And then he says, Ya Muhammad, murli min mali Allahi alladhi indak. Command to your sahaba to give me that wealth which belongs to Allah and just in your possession. Don't belong to you. It's Allah's wealth. Give it to me now. فَضَحِكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled. He smiles. ثُمَّ أَمَرَ بِي. Then he called his, he commanded the Sahaba to give this person whatever he had to give him. A similar incident took place where a group of Bedouins come and they begin to push Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam towards a tree, demanding, making demands that we want some wealth, some money now. So the tree that they pushed him towards was very, very, very thorny. So his shawl got stuck or clung onto the thorns of the tree. And now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are pulling him and he is stuck to the tree. He is unable to move and the shawl is coming out. He says, please, give me my shawl, give me my shawl. And he takes a qasam in Allah that if I had that amount of sheep or goats equivalent to the thorns on the tree, I would have given it to you. Then you would have never said that I am a bakhil, I am a miser. You would have found me to be generous. And that was the reality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was never an instant where any person came and asked for something and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had it at that time by him, that he would say no. He wouldn't say la. If he didn't have it at that time, then he would tell him, make arrangements for that person to come some other time, and then he would give it to him. Such was the generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was a Jew who comes, and he had lent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam some money. And then he comes before the due date and demands the payment of his loan that he had given. Rasulullah very politely tells him, I don't have the money now. This man says, I will never leave you and I will stand by you. So this man stands by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatul Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, the next morning Fajr. Five salat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is unable to move from there besides reading his salah. And this man is adamant. And he does not want to move from there. He's persisting and he demands his loan, repayment of his loan. Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, they were a bit away and they began to threaten him by means of the actions or the signs. And Rasulullah sallam learnt of this, or he saw this, and immediately he stopped them. Rasulullah sallam throughout that period was calm, composed. He never raised his voice. He never became angry. He never shouted this person. He didn't threaten to hurt this person. After Fajr, as the day, as it became more brighter, then this person suddenly says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka Muhammadur Rasulullah. He brought iman. And then he explains himself to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, all these things what I have done to you, it was not that I wanted to do this. I just wanted to verify what I read about you, your noble qualities in the Torah. And I found that to be true. And I've embraced Islam. And now this Yahudi was a very wealthy person. And he says, now do as you wish to distribute from my wealth. How Allah commands you, you can distribute. My beloved brothers and elders, time has already expired. There are so many incidents that we could learn from. To have that type of mercy, compassion, love for humanity, and most important is to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in all aspects of our life, outward, inward. It's not only when we eat, partake of meals, even in our clothing, and even in our mannerisms, our conduct, the manner in which we behave. Inshallah, tomorrow after Maghrib Salah in this masjid, we'll explain more and expound more on the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The amazing, amazing qualities that have been mentioned about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even his beauty, that nur will come out from the teeth, between the teeth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, between his teeth. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so handsome and so beautiful. And his character, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, he had a very lofty character. Inshallah, tomorrow after Maghrib Salah, we will try and expound more on the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that we try and bring these lessons in our lives and the lives of the entire mankind. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.